as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Our guide, our comforter, our constant friend, our deliverer and blessing. amen, revelator. Father God, we're asking right now, amen, that you would bless each and every one of us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you made to available to those that submit and obey you. Bless us, dear God, with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful of every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you will have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is, you know, I'm giving you the 101, Christianity 101 version. You know, I mean, when I study and I listen to other teachers on this issue, you know, it makes you feel insufficient, but it takes time. I mean, you can't, this is the thing, you can't, the Bible, you have to read it, then you have to break it down and study it. And you have to, you absolutely must call on God each and every time you read it, for whatever purpose of study, even for purpose of just reading through, so you can, you want it in your memory. This is not, you know, when you look at the events and compare it to other books, you know, they don't, it doesn't get as far out there as the Bible does. You know, the Bible is, you know, I noticed that it gets out there where those DC Marvel characters are. I mean, you got angels that do supernatural events. You got humans that do supernatural events. And these are not concoctions of man. You know, I was listening to a man of God, amen, and he says something, quoting a philosopher, and that is, where there is no necessity, there is no cause for invention. You know, over the years, I've heard people that have never experienced God in his presence, you know, claim that man invented God. And the deep part is the dumb, I'm not going to call him dumb, you know, is that they claim man invented so he could control man. And yet we don't see no evidence of the control. He just is wild and crazy as he's ever been. If he controlled man, there would only be one religion. There would only be, I would say, one faith, because God never told anybody to start a religion. He told them to teach him and to teach how to learn this life in faith. You know, and it's really amazing because, you know, it might have controlled a few people. I see some people. I don't believe they're being controlled. They're just using it as an excuse to be lazy. That's what it is. They are deceived. But again, God has set this up so that those of us that have become aware, that have the eyes of our understanding enlightened to that level, are to pray for our brothers and sisters that are still caught up in deception. Because right now it is tantamount. It is to have the truth. Because I'm seeing people victimized that they don't know they have the authority to oppose events that are perverted by Satan. You know, my mind thinks of what I watched, that devastation that just recently here in America went on in Colorado, where a fire, I've never seen a fire race through with a 100-mile-an-hour wind at the same time and just destroy suburban areas. I mean, like a nuclear blast. But that wasn't sent by God. Okay, let me make that plain. The devil sent that, but God gave Christians authority to stop that. But there's criteria with all the promises of God, okay? You know, you got to be in line with the word. You got to be in the will of God, you know? And this is where we are now, even with this pandemic. It is about who will exercise the word of God. I'm seeing people die. See, this is the thing. You can think you have faith, believe you have faith, but one thing about it, these challenges will let you know. You know, it's, I'm not trying to shed any condemnation on folk to die, but I'm quite sure when they do get on the other side, particularly the saints, they find out they had the authority and didn't exercise it. It's a process. The reason for the process is that it breeds submission, continuity of submission, which is very important. This mess started because one individual, well, actually it was about a trillion, decided they didn't want to obey God. That was long before man was brought about. But it was going to happen. Okay? You have to understand what this thing is about. So what we're talking about, when you talk about Christ, you got to let your mind get past religion and of just going to church and saying I'm a Christian. This day for the private Christianity, well, let me tell you about your private Christianity. I'm going to have to take it to where it is. You're going to end up dead, injured, family members dead, children dead. Listen, Satan is not a nice guy. He has no emotions. He could care less. He could stomp on a baby's face and kill it and not, he won't be, he don't know what remorse is. He's like some people we recently saw. And this time in history, what you read, if you really take the perspective of the Bible, you have to understand, you got to keep in your mind John 10 and 10. It says, the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, this is Jesus talking. He said, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Now, the Bible wouldn't exist if there wasn't criteria with that, okay? People can debate. The debate is over. Right now, it's go for what you know. And if you don't really know nothing, see, being good isn't an indicator of the fact that you have faith because you have a mission. When I find people now, and particularly now, that they can't find a reason for going to church or you go, listen, I tell God he can't over, you don't have power over COVID, okay? Now, yeah, there's some reasoning with this, okay, because the weaker people will be affected if you, you know, have contracted it. But, I mean, come on, they tell you, you wear a mask. People have a lot of faith in that mask, okay, that you won't spread it. But they don't tell you to wear gloves. That's kind of weird. Anyway, this is spiritual war. God has given us more than anybody of Christ have ever had. I'm making I'm doing a simulcast, a radio broadcast, and making a video for YouTube at the exact same time. And I binge on YouTube videos of men and women of God that are teaching the word and analyzing it. But you got to understand the purpose. We are second gen man. Now, Let me get some alignment with the word here. This all began in Mark 8:27, and then I went to Matthew chapter 16 version, and because in that version when Jesus spoke about when he asked the disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter responded and said that you are the Christ. And then Jesus told him the revelation of that knowledge did not come from man. You didn't get that in the local Bible Christian school because Peter didn't go. Peter was a guy. He's my guy. Okay? And that's the case. That is why I recommend, emphasize always taking 30 seconds in praying and asking God for revelation when you pick up the Bible. And he will 3D words, he will 3D sections, and he will stop, and the Holy Spirit will talk to you as an individual. And that's where we are today. Okay? Now, let's get a little closer to the review. Last time we was in John chapter 20. Amen. And in chapter 20, when Jesus revisited after his resurrection, a couple of things occurred. Okay. He breathed on them, which is the same thing that God did in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You know, I talked about the fact that there are what I call points of epiphany restoration. That's what I call that. In other words, this is the reuniting. What was lost in the garden was being reestablished right there. Now, I understand that this is breath after his resurrection. This is breath after all power in heaven and earth has been given into him, as it says in Matthew 28. So what we're talking about, back to another level of comprehension that is beyond us. MIT can't teach you what the Holy Ghost can, okay? Because we're talking about what's going to go on with us a billion years down the road. You know, we think we old when we get 60 and 70. You know, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago that Noah's like 6,000 years old now. I'm only 70. You know, I'm a baby. You know, practically an embryo still. But you got to get your mind to that level of the supernatural. You know, this is the supernatural. This is what I picked up out of the dictionary. I keep saying I'm going to get a 1928 edition, but it says a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. You know, that is really the same thing of description of a miracle, because November 16, 1976, that's exactly what happened. My mind got blown. I mean, the Holy Spirit went in there and cleaned out the drug addiction, the drug demons and everything else, whatever was giving me that inspiration to be constantly on drugs, he knocked it out. Cigarette smoking, too. I had went 4 days before I realized I didn't smoke. You know, I wasn't that fond of it. It was amazing. You know, they used to have this commercial from a cigarette company that said it tastes good like a cigarette should. Cigarettes don't taste good. Don't believe that junk. That's deception. They do not taste good, at least not what I call good, you know. But so what we're talking about, we're going into the book of Acts, and this is where you get – you got to let your mind go, because you will restrict – or as the Bible say, you will limit God, what he can do. You democratize Christianity, where you decide, you voted and you decided what you're not going to believe is going to have grave consequences. I mean, go on YouTube and look up disasters in the world. See, right here in the United States, we're getting a few things, but that's because there are the largest group of praying Christians that qualify that stand upright with God is in America, so we're not getting hit with floods on a daily basis like they are in, I just seen one in Venice, where the city that's known to be underwater, now they got more water than they can stand. China getting hit regularly, Italy, Iran and Iraq desert areas getting flooded. You know, that all that is because they got religion, but they don't have no power. And people have power, but they don't know how to use it. You know, I remember years ago when we switched at work, I was a deputy sheriff, and then we went from the wheel gun or the revolver to the 9mm and how semi-automatic and how people were afraid of it. But they didn't know that it added ease of shooting, you know, gave you a more of a fighting chance. And but that's because people wouldn't take the time to analyze it. And the Bible tells us, study to show yourself approved, who unto God. That's in Timothy. You do study. People, it's amazing. People, there's some of our brothers and sisters that were taught to never read the Bible. Actually, can you imagine that? Being taught, can you imagine the person that told them that, even though the Bible says study to show yourself approved? You know, people isolate themselves. If you read it, see, I think they instinctively know if they read it, they're responsible for it. But guess what? As we move forward in 2022, this is where the rubber gonna meet the road. All right. So we're talking about, like I said, we're going into the, we didn't come through from the Old Testament. We hit the middle a little bit. You had to take time and read all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the middle. That's the connection point with Jesus. That's the price God had to pay for our salvation. Didn't matter the fact that you were a victim of circumstance and you got here, you didn't vote to come here, you here. I already presented that argument to God. He told, that was his response. You here now, deal with it. I mean, he's giving us the opportunity. He's working with us. He's patient with us. He's merciful to us, okay? You know, but I tell you what, people like excitement. They can deny it, but that's why they spend their money. They borrow money to travel because they like excitement. They like seeing different things. Listen, I guarantee you there's nothing more, no one more exciting than the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Believe me, God, I tell people all the time, God will show you some stuff you won't tell nobody because you know they can't get it. All right. So we're talking about how Christ is really us. And it's about, that's what it's about. And it's about the unveiling of the power of God through his creation, man. And it is such tremendous power that it demands that he fully understand how love operates in every circumstance. That's what it will keep you from abusing the power. When you see homeless and billionaires just separated by 1 mile, and they really don't have no conscience of helping to rectify that because they don't ask God how to rectify it, and they don't want to use the money to rectify it like it's theirs, and ain't nobody taking nothing with them. If it's yours, you don't even take that body. That's borrowed. Everything you got is borrowed, temporary, and it's all about to come to an end. All right, so we're talking about, so if God's going to take us to another level, and I believe that some people have already gone because they walk in that faith level, and that is God to use you, as we'll see, maybe not today, but next week, what transition. And that's what we got, a transition of power. When Jesus, in what is known as the Great Commission in chapter Matthew chapter 18, he said, go ye in all the world. He said, go ye in all the world and make disciples, all right? Now, that's, you need to understand, that's what I'm doing now, elevating people's mindset. This is what making a disciple is. You can't do that. You know, witnessing on the street is one thing. Making disciples is yet another. That's what teaching is about. This is why Peter said, I believe in 1 Peter 3, he said, be prepared to give every man of an answer of the hope that lieth in you. So how can you do that if you don't know the word? That's a responsibility. See, I frustrate some people every now and then. They try to question me, but I don't do it as a challenge. I don't. It's not a great gain to me. It's no. I don't exalt myself because of that. It's the simple fact that I am aware. And then I tell them, this is what God wants them to know. See, it's about the love of God. As I go out, you know, I do Uber. Believe me, I do Uber. I'd rather sit at home and trade stocks. But the difference is I would just be at home. I could pray for the world. I do pray for the world. You see, if those that see in the video see a world map behind me, I pray for them just about every day, you know. And that I do. But when you meet people on an individual level, as I have recently, it helps to be able to minister to them one-on-one. You know, if you look in the Bible, a lot of the ministry was one-on-one. People, you know, my heart goes out to be to pastors. I love pastors to the fullness of life. But I pray for them because I know, you know, in typical in warfare, you go after the head. I don't know why people get so upset when pastors get tripped up. That's tactical warfare. You hit the head, you're going to mess with the body. Okay? All right. So we didn't have the transition. We didn't came explained in Daniel chapter 9, I think verse 25, 26, that Messiah mean anointed one. Christ mean anointed one. The anointing mean of power given by another, and in this case is God, because this is what he wants us to understand for the future when we become third-gen man. We second-gen man now. That's what a Christian is. That's when the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:17, say you're a new creature, never existed before, because you now have the combined of the Spirit of God within your spirit, and that's a tremendous power. So it's about us learning that. we have to learn the behavior. This is what the Bible tells us in Ephesians, what the fruit, what the productivity of the Spirit is. But that comes from submission. People don't know it's a fruit of the Spirit. They've never read it. Then it's sad when you have pastors that have never read it. That's really sad. All right. So we want to read right quick Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus is leaving. I believe that's where we want to go. Okay. Yes, it is. One thing I do want to talk about. Now, matter of fact, let's go to Mark chapter 16. I want to clear up something here so people won't understand. So they really understand, because we're going to talk about tongues a little bit. But that ain't what I'm talking the most thing. And we're going with Mark 16:14. It says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It speaks for itself. I'm just the messenger. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay. I think we're going to hang out here for a minute. All right, one thing I want to clear. I don't mean you can run out and drink some poison and you won't die. You drink some Drano, you're going to be, not only you're going to suffer and you're going to die. This is something that you don't get. This is something that might happen without your knowledge. I put it like that. Okay, you go to a restaurant and somebody spike your drink, and if you're in alignment with the Word of God, you know, it won't hurt you. You know, it won't kill you. Been there, done that. Okay? Could happen by accident. There could just be by legitimate process that you go to the store and you buy some food. This is a FYI, when you go grocery shopping, especially today, in this day and age, but it should have always been, stand back, open your arms, pray over all your food, and pray that God remove everything to present hurt, harm, and danger from the food. That's the type of authority you have, because you don't see it happening, trust me. You know, you see his food always being recalled. This is something you want to practice, and this is what to prevent that. See, so this is also when I received my shots. Before I took the shot, I prayed this prayer. I made a prayer. You can take the word and shape a prayer, okay? Take the word, and they said they shall drink no deadly thing. So I didn't drink the shot, but it was going into my body. And then I took 1 Timothy 4:5. It says, for it is sanctified by prayer, okay? So I combined those two, and whatever might have been, nobody in that day got anything in their shot, because I prayed over it all. We have that kind of authority. We are dealing with the supernatural, above natural, the invisible world. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that the limitation of your eyes can't physically see it on that molecular level. Think about what is going on. It's all happening at the molecular level. You've never seen a 6-foot creature walking around bigger. You've probably seen a little red balls, white balls with little tentacles sticking out called COVID, but you never seen one 6 feet tall. You can't see it with your natural eye, but you know it's there. And this is why you have to get into the supernatural. In my world, okay, I believe it is an intelligent creature. I don't even know the parts of the body that it goes in. What it does, it goes in, causes blood clots and fluid in the body. How does it know to do that without intelligence? Huh? Is it magnetic? Huh? Is it coded? What? You know? No. We got this limited thinking of what a demon is and what a demon can do, despite what the Bible shows us. And we don't ask God about it. Bottom line is, If your words are lined up with the word of God, it should respond to that. And think this, too. This is another thought on that. Sometimes you have to be led of the Holy Spirit. When they told me I had, they told me I had cancer, and an aggressive cancer, and I'm like, okay. They're like, the doctor said, no, listen, this thing is spread. I'm like, I get that, and he give me a spiel about what I should do and what they could do, and I'm like, doc, I know people that did what you said they did. Okay, so I'm for putting God first. I mean, I got afterlife insurance, so if that don't work, I mean, it ain't like I'm really going to lose out. I just get home earlier. I mean, I'm coming back, so I got a no-lose situation. So the rest of but I, it, this wasn't a, this was an issue of finding, let's put the part, I've been sitting under some of the finest, and particularly my pastor, one of the greatest teachers of the Word of God on the planet. Otherwise, God wouldn't be sending him all over the planet. You know, it's, why? Because he break down how this he emphasized how to use the power of God. Right now, we're on 30 days of prayer. Why? Because that's individual. That's individual. What does prayer do? One of the things prayer does is keep you mindful of God. Because you can't, let me tell you something, you can't go before God on a regular basis and have issues and him not say nothing. God won't bite his tongue. And it could be, might seem minor to you. Okay? I've said before, that he's like I said, I can't smart mouth my wife and or be mean with her and then go before the throne of God. He's like, oh, no, you can't talk to my daughter like that. He don't care. Amen. You know, he's like, you better fix that. Or whatever it might be. Maybe it could be my neighbor. He'll make you fix it. So it keeps you in line with his word. Believe me, Holy Ghost will get very vocal, and if you get hard-headed, he will raise the response, believe me. You know what they say, you have an intense discussion. You don't want to go there with him. All right, so again, this is why. Because you need to understand that you have access to the power of the most powerful individual in the universe, and that requires some discipline. That's what this is about. We think we know if it was that simple, it wouldn't have taken 6,000 years just to get to this point, and then we have to have another 1,000 years of training. Well, there's no need. Why 1,000 years? I mean, I'm open for suggestions. Send me the number 7trainingday@gmail.com. I'm, you know, not to argue. What could be the possible reasons for 1,000 years and just skipping that and going to the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21? Why stop to have that 1,000 years? See, in my mind is 1 John 3:2 and Philippians 3:20 and 21. You're going to be a totally different person. Matter of fact, the person that Jesus is now, Jesus is third gen. Your relatives that passed on in Christ are third gen. They're not bound by gravity. They're not bound with all these bonds. They don't have to, Alzheimer's don't work with them. If you look at Luke chapter 16, you'll see that. They're having a conversation. Them dudes, the 500 years difference in age. And they're having a conversation. The guy looks at Abraham and calls him out. And Abraham ain't got no badge. He has full cognizance. That's got to really hurt. You know, pain is a lot with the little bit that we know. Can you imagine having fully cognizance over that? And he's been down there 3,500 years, and he still ain't got no water. That's tremendous. That's what this is about. All right? Got to kind of move on, okay? Now, again, don't go out playing snakes. You get bit, you're going to die, and you're going to get home early. Don't just go out, drink any old thing. And then, now, laying hands on the sick. There's laying hands. There's various types of prayer. Now, you have to be led of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just lay a hand. That's why you'll see healing lines in churches and the pastor or whoever has been given the authority will go around just lay hands. That anointing is there. You know, it's different for everybody. What gives them that revelation? you know, I experienced a certain person, a woman of God, talked about how they felt the palms of their hand would burn and they knew to lay hands. And I experienced that, but it don't be that way all the time. Again, this learning to be submissive and guided to God. And you have to be quiet. I see people that are ill that I want to lay hands on, and I quite frankly, I be shocked when I get a negative response from the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, wow, this is deep. But you know what? You don't know people. Their mouth and their actions and their rebellion. I remember meeting a man once. One of them days, I just felt, look, I had two cars and a motorcycle, and the Lord said, ride the bus, right? So I ride the bus to work. Which was experience. And this homeless looking person gets on the bus, and the Lord told me to ask him. They sat near me, and the Lord, he said, ask them how long they've been running for God. He started crying, told me it was for 20 years. You know, now that's something. Living like a bum for 20 years because you don't want to do what God say. But the point of the matter is, this is my objective here, it's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. One, to get on that bus. That's a change. I didn't want to put come on. Now I would rather it took less time driving. At that time, I had to walk a mile to get to the bus. You know, they didn't have buses where you could ride your bike and hook your bike on the front of the bus. They only allowed two bikes. I had to walk and then catch the bus, which was slower. But I was there to be there to minister as God wanted me. Same thing with laying on his hands. Now, sometimes you could just, you won't be wrong when you visit somebody in the hospital. I think God would probably, the Holy Spirit would give you a strong impression not to. But then there's the other prayer, as I pray when I open it, that God would give them the revelation of what is going on. Because some people, they're sick because they don't obey God. You go left, God go right. You in devil's territory, and you are fair game for attack. That's happening with people. This right now, again, as I was saying earlier, what's happening in the world, if you look at these countries, you look at these storms, look at what they believe. You know, I've seen in this island where they was carrying around a statue of Mary. I love Mary to the fullness of life. I'm so grateful she obeyed God, but she does not answer prayer. Worshiping her is violation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. You shall neither bow down. He said, don't make nothing that resembles anything in heaven. Mary's in heaven, so it says that. So what? You can't stop a volcano unless you obey God. You can't stop a storm. Like I said, it's a particular part of the country, Florida, Georgia area, I noticed, haven't been getting as devastated as it has in the past, and I believe it's because three men of God that are down there know their authority, and a woman now, know their authority in Christ. That thing got to go find another territory to attack. Look at what, keep your eye down there, you'll see what I'm talking about. Same thing any part of the country. Somebody was telling me, somebody notified me, I was talking about when Houston was getting ripped up and beat up, and they told me Houston had been warned. So, you know, and that was a person of authority. I'll put it like that, they hired me. You know, and there are steps of authority in the body of Christ. God is, and you know you're getting warnings over the radio. I mean, I've witnessed Jonathan Kahn. He's Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, if you want to see him speaking to Congress. Warning them, particularly about this abortion issue and what was coming. That was 2015. Listen, I'm telling you, this you can isolate yourself. Isolate yourself with the Word of God. Isolate yourself in the promises of God. And the Word promises that it may fall. I think I'm going to read that. You know, I'm going to read out of Psalm 91. Because this is where we are going to be this year, okay? And Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at your side, thy side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, why? Why? Because if you go back to the first verse, it says, he that dwelleth in the secure secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the safest place to be is in the will of God. The safest place to be is in the will of God. Tune it up. Excuse me. It's a lot of things I have not done because they would get if it interferes with the will of God, I do. I'm telling you, I keep count of how many people I minister to by the amount of cards that I give out. I had these business cards that have a prayer of salvation over and a little information. In my case, it has I have one that has a website and the other one that's an invite card. You can have them made for $25. I recommend you do that. I got the idea from one of the pastors at my church. Anyway, and it lets me know where I'm at because I'm trying. I am trying. You can't make people receive Christ, you know, but you can tell them to keep the card because, listen, if they get left after the rapture, they're going to want that card, believe me. See, that's what we're supposed to do. That's called seed planting. And then God going to send someone else. And that's watering. And then God will get an increase. All right? Now, we command that kind of power. But now we're going to look at, let's go to Acts chapter 1 and see how we got that power. All right? Okay, yeah, I'm going to read this. All right. This is Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 6. And it says, matter of fact, I got it over here. I'm going to read this in the NIV. It says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the days that the Father has set by his own authority. Again, that simply means God is the only one to know. There was no necessity to know. There's lots of things that hadn't even come close to me. They didn't have no electricity back then, let alone they needed. Some of the things that are in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and chapter 13, could not occur without the internet. So, you know, there was no need in telling them something, you know. They've been like giving them a set of tires and they don't even have a car, okay? He said, it's not for you to know the times or dates, not for you to know. That don't include you. We the first generation when all the things spoken of by Daniel and John in the book of Revelation are in manifestation. The only thing that hasn't happened is the rapture. But we are so close and nobody know when that is. We just know we in that terror. It's like sitting at the airport, your flight been delayed. You know you're going to get on the flight. You just have to wait till you get ready to take off. All right. But you will receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I'm out of reverse 10. Okay. And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. All right. You know, I think it was the History Channel, they said that Jesus got beamed up. You know, and this thing about UFOs, don't worry about that. They from Satan. Ain't nothing in the Bible. Well, there's some UFOs that they've been out because they're in the Bible to identify. That's going to be used to cover up when we leave after the rapture. I'm not worrying about that now. You can ask God. There are teachers that are teaching on the same thing, saying the same thing. You know, again, we're dealing with something far beyond basic humanity. Far beyond basic humanity. And this is, you got to lift your mind above that. You got to lift your mind. Right now, it's the understanding of this power. Okay, it's tremendous because I mean this is what God does. This is how He does it. You know, He does all His works through us. Okay, now we going. Am I good? Let me see. All right. We moving right along. All right. Now we're going to Acts chapter 2. One of the most controversial, but you know the strange thing about it. If you can't say you time with God over the issue, I ain't saying how much time, you do well, particularly now, to just be quiet. Say, I don't understand. I'm good at that. I was good at that, okay? Now, this event is called the Day of Pentecost. It was a typical Jewish event, okay? I'm not going to get into all that. I'm not teaching on Pentecost right now. What I'm teaching on now is the transition of power. Listen, if you're a police officer and after you come out of the academy and you've been given your authority and you witness a crime, particularly one, any type of crime, and you fail to act, it's called malfeasance. It's either malfeasance or misfeasance. In other words, you've been given authority to carry out the law of the state, and yet you fail to do it after you, swore an oath to do so. That is, in this state, a misdemeanor. Okay? Now, the same thing applies here. And a lot of Christians probably have a smile on their face when they leave earth after they die, knowing they ain't going to hell because you drop right straight down into hell. Okay? And there's a book called Divine Revelation of Hell if you want to know. And Mary Baxter is a very humble woman. She would have preferred to not have told anybody what happened, you know, and it's ironic she just happened to, she grew up and lived about 5 miles from where I live right now. And that was one of the first books that I read in 24 hours. I could not put that book down. And now there's the second version, Divine Revelation of Heaven. Excellent books. There's some other ones, Close Encounter of the God Kind, Jesse New Planet. If you want to read some books of some people sanctified, folks submitted, committed to God, of what goes on the other side. But what she spoke touched my spirit, and that's what it is. You rely on your spirit, because a lot of times there's certain men and women of God I listen to, and then I get a sanction of agreement from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, point here is you got to look at this whole picture, what transition all the way from Adam to now. Okay, what is God trying to do? He's creating the God-man in the fullness. This is second-gen man, okay? Being given, and the thing about this is not power for just you. It's power for you to do the will of God. And who is it that wouldn't want you to do that? Think about that, okay? It isn't for to exalt you. It in no way can exalt you, all right? It says, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Yes. Now, the one time that people are on one accord, as it says in the King James Version, they were all on one accord, is when they are worshiping God, sharing His word, and singing and praising God. On November 16, 1976, was the first time that I openly praised God. I mean, and it was a praise of I don't care. I didn't even go there with that intention. I was invited to a prayer meeting, which I had never been to one. The person that invited me did not show up. I started to leave, but I just felt a compulsion to go in there. I get in there, and there's only four people, including me, two round sisters and one other brother. And, you know, I'm at church, and church events were foreign to me. I had no clue what was going to go on. I will say this. My mind was I was going to settle the issue of whether or not there really was God, because he had mentioned something that I thought would really just, you know, really, because in my mind, the Holy Spirit, I had enough sense to know it was holy. And I could not imagine something holy being given to a unholy person. That didn't make sense at all. Something holy given to an unholy person. But at the time, I did not understand. I didn't even know I was already saved. First off, I thought that was the night I got saved, because I didn't know, because of the experience was so dramatic. And then the Lord showed me that simple confession. God will honor the contract even though we don't know what we be saying when we say that, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. We say it, we don't feel nothing, ain't nothing happen. It ain't going about your feeling. It's a contract, agreement, covenant between you and God. It stands today. You need to ask your mother and father, did you make that deal? If you don't know that now, and if you don't, I'm going to give you a chance in a few minutes to be able to make that deal, because that's one of the key points in accessing the power of God, the promise of God, eternal life with God. If you do not have that covenant, I don't care how good you are. It's a sad reality, one of the heartbreaks that God have to endure, which is why I'm motivated to minister to people, is that he has to endure watching good people, honest, hardworking people, and in some case, loving people go to hell. He can't prevent it simply because they are not under the blood. Don't try it. It's that simple. It's that critical. That if you go back and you look at this whole thing about training day, is an attempt to try to explain the necessity of the reality, the necessity that you have to have God. You have to have Christ. There's we talked about early on that what happened with Aaron was that he was washed and then the blood was applied and then they poured the anointing oil, which signified the Holy Spirit. That's the process that must occur. You can't just be good. You can't do works to get in there. You can't just be good. You want to make your works benefit you? You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, remember, you go back with the saint, with Peter and them, Jesus gave them that advantage, that benefit. He was able to minister that. He, Matthew 3:11 said that Jesus ministers the Holy Spirit. That's critical. Who ministers? That name went omnipresent when he survived, when he didn't survive, when he overcame and he conquered the grave, okay, when he was resurrected and put him at another whole status level, okay? He said, listen, after all, there's nothing. He said all power was given. If the person that gave it, hey, you had the argument with him, but he gave it to him. God, you know, I don't have no, all I know is it works. All I know is it works. All I know is that it works. I'm telling you, this is the key. My journey, one accord. I think a lot of people miss that. You know, and they probably still do it in some churches. They had this process they call tarrying. And that's what I didn't understand that. That's what they was talking about it. They had you saying, look, they had you quoting the highest praise to God. I dare you to do it. Mean it in your heart and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise to God. That's what I've been told. I believe that, you know, but that is not necessary. Believing God is all that's necessary. There's a process that went with this event, and it was different from what goes on later on. And it's been events that are similar to this that have happened in recent history, okay, based on some sanctified men and women of God, all right? But what are we talking about? Again, this is supernatural, okay? A manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding of the laws of nature. Beyond. It's talking about we're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday, that has a son that died and rose again, that when you just saw, when he left, he didn't go to the airport, they didn't exist, and get on a plane to leave. And he transitioned, and God wants to give. You know, this is the process when people tell me, and I base this on events that people that there are events on YouTube of people that died, okay? And they tell the story of what happened. And the reason that angels come and guide you is because you don't know how to fly. You had to kind of get your balance together because that's a different level of authority and power. And you know, you're moving through space on your way to the third heaven. See, your mind, look at all those events. You take that. I'm telling y'all now, right now, start today. Add the book of Revelation to, read the book of Revelation over the next month, over the next 30 days. Just read it. And look at what's going on in there. And make a decision. You know, my first pastor said, read the first verse of the Bible and then make a decision. I'm telling you, if you, those events in there are events that some have happened. There is in doctrinal training called the law of double reference. There's events in there that has happened, gonna happen. Okay, it covers two periods of time. So you can't lock into one. Don't even try to understand. Just look at what you read in there. Because now we're talking about dealing with you as an individual having the Spirit of God. Everybody on the planet does not have that, only those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Let me repeat that. Every human being, adult, child, does not have that, only those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, you have not gone to anybody's church and seen somebody come out with a bucket of blood and pour it on somebody. So it's happening in another realm, the realm you can't see that you know exists. You felt the wind before. You have never seen it. You don't know where it come from. You don't know where it's going. That's just one of. You've seen electricity, seen what it does. You've never actually seen electricity. You've never seen power. You've never seen a horsepower. You've seen a motor turn. You know it's being done. You know it's developing force, but the actual force you have never seen. So don't tell me, I only believe what I see. Well, let me throw this one. You believe you got a brain? How's that one? All right. So we're going to cut off right here. Amen. At the day of Pentecost. And pray. Listen, God, one of the main reasons for Jesus' resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection is to restore fellowship with God, the Lord God Jehovah. Okay? And just as an FYI there, I know vowels in the Hebrew language, okay? I'm not teaching on that now. That was for somebody to ask. But anyway, that's definitely covered on YouTube all over the place. All right. So let's begin this process. If you've never made it, just do this as an act of I believe God. Say this prayer. Lord God, I believe Jesus is your son. I believe you sent him to die for all of us on Calvary's tree. to bear my sins. And Father, I believe he died and rose from the dead and is alive now. And I say, Lord Jesus, to my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I am saved and I am born again. And Father God, I ask forgiveness for all my sins. Amen. For those who are backslidden, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've concluded another phase, and again, we will be on this until, I don't see no quick end, probably the whole next year, unless the rapture come, then those that get left behind will watch it then. And remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love, and prayer is God trusting you with his power. Shalom. Be blessed.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. I believe. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. fever.